This is a very special episode of the Secret Identity Podcast, where once again, Mattman goes solo. In this episode, I'll be reviewing Justice League and Power Rangers number 1, Reggie and Me number 1, and Superman number 14. The news will feature a look at a bunch of upcoming shows that you need to go to, and our creator spotlight returns with a double take, as I talk to marketing guru and rock star Mike Pfeiffer and writer Matthew Sumo, both from Double Take. Both of those interviews came from New York Comic Con 2017 as well. So sit back and relax and get ready, because this is going to be great, or it's going to be okay, or fairly average, or mediocre, or something. Well, it's definitely going to be something. This is the Secret Identity Podcast.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
The Human Torch was denied a bank loan.
This is all your fault, you.
Get that finger out of your ear. You don't know where that finger's been.
Why do you keep staring at me?
You have 20 seconds to comply.
God, clean the whole for fun.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're getting a chance to listen. Thank you for joining us on the Secret Identity Podcast. Without Brian Letendry, this is the Mattman. Now, Brian has got a few weeks of insanity going on at his job. So I said to him, hey, brother, let me put the show together by myself. You can focus on what you need to do, and we'll give the people what they want. Unless you want Brian and you don't want me, then I'm giving you the absolute opposite of what you want. So anyway, moving on to the news, we've got a bunch of cons and events happening on the East Coast alone in 2017. The year's barely a month old, and we've already got a ton of shows that are listed and posted. Many of those you'll see Brian, myself, together or apart. So starting out February 18th through the 20th at the Javits Center in beautiful New York City is Toy Fair. Get a preview of the new lines of toys that are coming your way in 2017. Now, Toy Fair is not a place to buy toys. It's a place to see what is coming out in the coming year. It's a trade show for the toy industry. And I'm still on the fence. I'm still wondering if I'm going to be going to this show. I really would like to check it out at least once. Northeast Comic Con in its new location in Hanover, Massachusetts, March 4th and the 5th. Adam Westbert, Ward McFoley, Charlie Theron, one of my favorite singers of all time and a great guy, Joe St. Pierre, who's not one of my favorite singers, but one of my favorite people of all time, and Alex Simmons, one of the greatest human beings that ever walked the face of the earth. For more information, you can go to necomiccon.net. Green Mountain Comic Expo, April 1st and the 2nd, going on in Barrie, Vermont. Jason Moulton puts on an amazing show and somehow finds a way to bring tons of people starved for anything geek into one location. Blair Shedd, Jay Moore, Scott Wee, Matt Sylvester, Reckless Sidekicks Productions, they're all going to be there, and the list is going and growing. It's greenmountaincomicexpo.com, and instead of spelling out mountain, you're just putting in MT. Connecticut Gamer Con is happening April 1st and 2nd at the Mohegan Sun. Go to the site and register for some of the tournaments that are going on there. That is going to be a lot of fun. A lot of classic games, board games, stand-up games, all sorts of games. Games I don't even know what I'm talking about are going to be there. Super Mega Fest, April 7th through the 9th in Marlboro, Massachusetts. The guest list is beginning to grow out of control with Adrian Barbeau, Barbara Eden, Christy McNichol, Jim Shooter, Chris Claremont, Mike Grell, me, Stacey Longo, and as I'm recording this, I believe it is Stacey's birthday today, Lonnie Anderson. You can go to supermegafest.com for more information. I'll be doing a couple panels while I'm there as well. Please check this one out. One of my favorite shows of the year. It's a show that has no stress involved in it at all. Just a ton of fun. April 22nd at the Avon Public Library in Avon, Connecticut is AvonCon 2017 Rise of the Villains. Join myself and our friend Matt Ryan from Free Lunch Comics, who will be doing a draw-off and some workshops as well. Host of the Brick City Blockade Star Wars podcast will be there, caricaturist Bill Dougal. And the list is growing and growing. This is a free event, so if you are in the area, you need to come by and check. May 6th and the 7th at Poughkeepsie, New York is super fun, and the incredibly well-run Hudson Valley Comic-Con. Last year's show was fantastic, and not just because it was a first-year show. It was just a great time. Celebrity guest right now, Barbara Goodson, who played Rita Repulsa on the Power Rangers, will be there. HVComicCon.com. I will be there as well, doing my panels, just having a lot of fun. This is a great little area. Where I live, it's about 2.5 hours away, but it is worth the drive. Plastic City Comic Con happening in Fitchburg at the Wallace Civic Center. Second year show, and our good friend Keith and his lovely wife Amy put on an amazing show last year. This was probably one of the best shows that not only I had, everybody in attendance. Brian did great. Every one of our friends that were there, amazed at how many people not only came, but how many people were there purchasing everything that we had. It was a lot of fun. And you definitely don't look at a show for how much money you make there, but obviously you're there to make money. And everybody did really well. It's a seriously comic book related fun show the way shows should be. August 18th and 20th in Uncasville, Connecticut at the Mohegan Sun is Terrificon, one of the best shows that you will attend. And if you're a creator, you need to look to set up at this one. Tables are going quick. From Crisis, we got Marv Wolfman and George Perez. Chris Giarrusso is going to be there, Adam West, Burt Ward. And if I didn't name anybody else, that is a stellar lineup right there. August 26th and the 27th is Vermont Comic-Con in beautiful Burlington, Vermont. If I had my choice of where I could live anywhere in the world, it probably would be Burlington. I absolutely love that place. The guest list is in the works right now, but Matt Rook from The Flash and Nikita Brice from Power Rangers Turbo is going to be there. VTComicCon.com. And October 5th through the 8th in New York City at the Javits Center is New York Comic Con. This is the big one. Obviously, you need to be at this show as well. October 30th, BingCon in Springfield, Massachusetts. Always a fun show. Details will be forthcoming. All right. Well, that's it. That's a lot of shows to look at. So let's take a deep breath. We'll take it together and talk about some comic books. But first, are you someone who's on the go and prefers or may need to read their comics on their device? Comixology offers thousands of titles from DC, Marvel, Image, Archie, IDW, Dark Horse, HB Comics, and a host of others. Powered by Amazon, Comixology is the premier source for online comics. Now, this week I was reading some old Flash comics and looking at some recent Star Wars books, and even for a traditional comic book reader like me, I was really loving what I saw and enjoying the experience. And introducing Comixology Unlimited. This amazing service allows you to read freely from thousands of titles, including comic books, graphic novels, and manga. You can read offline on any device. Comixology Unlimited is available for $5.99 a month, and you can cancel it at any time. And right now, at Comixology.com, you get a free 30-day trial. You can tell them Batman sent you, but they might not even care. All right, so before we start talking about our new comics, I need to discuss and chat a little bit about a new book that just came out this week called Commandy Challenge. Now, for those of you who know me, I am a huge fan of Commandy. Commandy was a character created by Jack Kirby in the 70s. It was a series that, like a lot of his projects at the time, did not do very well. They weren't as well received as they should have been. And as time has gone on, they've really taken on a life of their own. This is where Darkseid came from, this whole world that Jack Kirby created. Now, the Commandy Challenge is a 12-issue series where creators are taking bits. They're doing 7-8 pages, they're finishing a story, and then handing it off to another team. Then that team has to continue the story. Following that story, you get a little thing at the end where the original writer, and in the case of this book, Dan DiDio, who wrote the first story, explains what he wanted the rest of the story to be and how much different it was from what I believe it was Dan Abnett did. An amazing book, a great concept, a super cool idea. I'll be talking about this one a lot when Brian gets back and on the website and the Facebook pages because it is so good. So first of all, the first book we're going to be looking at is a joint effort from DC and Boom Studios. Now, we're not going to be getting the Marvel DC teen-ups that we want in our hearts. We want that stuff. We want Batman and Captain America together. We want the Hulk and Thor. But we're not going to get, well, we always get the Hulk and the Thor. We're not going to get Superman and the Hulk or Thor. So what we do is we have to look at some of these other ones. And DC's really done a great job, especially in the last couple months. We've got Justice League, Mighty Morphin, Power Rangers. This is the book we're going to be looking at. You also, from DC and IDW, are, I think we're 2 issues into Green Lantern, Star Trek, the second part of that one. So a lot of fun things and a lot of cool areas that we are seeing our favorite characters in different places, teaming up with different people. So starting this book off, we will go right to the credits. And I am going to run into the same problem that Brian has all the time, trying to find them, because you go flipping around. Okay, very, very last page. Tom Taylor is the writer. Stephen Byrne is the artist and colorist. Deeren Bennett is the letterer. Carl Kerschel did one of the covers. With a lot of these books, you get seven or eight different covers. I have the split cover, where you have half the Justice League and half Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. We start out in Angel Grove, and that noise was the book hitting my microphone. Because I am recording this in a different place. This is where I usually record the Striper podcast that I do, 53.5, and I don't have the room that I do in the Secret Identity Studios, where I don't have to hit anything or smash into anything. So Angel Grove is where we're starting, home of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And you get a couple pages of seeing the people kind of walking around the city. You get a narrative about how it is, you know, a family place. It's a place to raise your family. There are 376,000 people that live here. And then you turn the page and you see a huge crater. And you've got the Power Rangers not in their uniforms looking down at a hole. Zach, the Black Ranger, is on his knees, and he's looking down going, "This is all my fault." And then above him, you have a voice that says, "Zach," you look up, and it's Superman. And he's saying, "It's not your fault, son." And Zach is saying, "Hey, they're all gone. I did this. We argued, and now they're all gone." And Superman is trying to let him know, "It's not your fault. You need to stand up, and we can do something about this." So you're thinking this is certainly an epic story if Angel Grove is gone. So now you go back 36 hours ago to the Power Rangers Command Center, where Zordon and Alpha 7, is that his name? Where Alpha is there, that's 7 Zark 7, Alpha 5. So Alpha 5 is there, and they're talking to Zordon, they're talking about what they're going to be doing, and they realize that Alpha 5 is missing. So they go out, they go looking for him, and when they find him, Zach seems to find him, and they're looking all over the place. Zach gets him and brings him back. But when they bring him back, they realize that it is not Zordon, it is a bomb, and this bomb explodes. In the headquarters of the Power Rangers, there is death, destruction, everything flying everywhere, and then all of a sudden Lord Zedd shows up. Now, Lord Zedd was that guy that has sort of the muscle, looks like he's got his muscles and tendons on the outside. He's red, he's got a metal mask with a metal teeth-looking thing and a big Z on the top of his head. And he's talking to Zordon, telling him, you know, "Hey, glad I'm here, this is not going to be good for you." The Power Rangers morph, they turn into this big fight, all of a sudden some putties show up, and there is a battle all over the place. As the battle is going on, they get taken somewhere else. Zach goes missing with Zordon. The rest of the Power Rangers are fighting the putties, trying to figure out what is going on, what is happening. And Zach shows up fighting putties on a world that he is not comfortable with. He doesn't know what it is. He just knows it feels different. And he's going, "Wow, I'm out of my world." And then Batman shows up. So Batman is there, and Zach is just assuming that Batman is another bad guy. He is part of the putties. So he looks like he's going to go take him down with his axe. And all of a sudden, Batman puts up his arm, takes the full brunt of the blast, punches him, knocks him down, takes the axe away. And then he pins him down and says, "You know what, we're going to talk about this." And then all of a sudden the Power Rangers all show up, and the Green Ranger says, "Let go of our friend." And then all of a sudden they start battling. Batman starts calling for assistance, saying that there are some people that are out of this world that are here. They're enhanced and I need some help. So Flash shows up, runs around, grabs all their weapons and is standing there with them all. And then Batman jumps in, tries to stop him. There's an explosion and then everybody goes missing. Or at least the heroes, and the Power Rangers are realizing that this is not their world, this is not where they're supposed to be, and all of a sudden they grab Batman and they take him into one of their Power Zords, their Dinozords, the Pterodactyl from the Pink Ranger. So it's funny, he's gone, and Flash is calling the Watchtower, screaming. Cyborg gets on the comm and is like, "What's going on?" He goes, "Well, we got a little bit of a problem down here. Batman is missing," and his words are, "Batman's been taken by a flying pink dinosaur robot." And then the next issue says, "Mighty Morphin Power Rangers versus the Justice League." So what I liked about this book, this was a lot of fun. This was a very big book. It's a $3.99 book, which you would sort of expect for a team-up. And it's very big. The pages jump out at you. The art comes out. It is a very simple book. There's not a lot of complicated dialogue going on. There's not a lot of complicated panels. Everything is really simple. It's a lot like the books that I used to read when I was a kid, when you would have the Justice League, Justice Society team-ups. It wasn't a very complicated thing. I have not watched the Power Rangers since the first Power Ranger movie came out, yet I can get sucked right into this world because they do such a great job not complicating everything. You go in there, you've got Zordon, you've got everybody, you know what's going on. A fun book. There is a little story in the letters page about how this all came about, and you can also get in to send your letters. So Justice League, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers from DC and Boom Studios, definitely a must get. And now we will move over to the Archieverse for Reggie and Me number one. This is the first issue of a new series starring Reggie. Now, Reggie and Me is an old title from the old Archie lines. It was in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and I think that went into the 80s. I love reading these because this really starts to show you that mischievous, very dark side of Reggie. Well, we have started to see in the afterlife with Archie and in the current Archie that there is much more of a darker side than just the dark side that we might have seen in the back. In the past, we used to see how mischievous he was, how he was always trying to foil Archie. Well, now we're starting to see a little bit more of a person that is somebody we didn't like. I mean, this is a guy that in school most of us didn't like. And if you were this guy, you're reading this and probably going, oof, I was not a good person. Written by Tom DeFalco, Sandy Jarrell does the art, Kelly Fitzpatrick doing the coloring, Jack Morelli is the letterer, Victor Gorilek, editor-in-chief, Mike Pellerito is the editor, and also the president of Archie, we always have to mention that, publisher John Goldwater. So this book came out a couple months ago, and you see that this is a book that is going to be narrated, and it is narrated, interestingly enough, by a dog. And it's a little dachshund, and his name is Vader. And he is Reggie's dog. Funny that in the Betty and Veronica series that's going on right now, Hot Dog is the one that narrates that book. So the Archieverse is kind of in the dog's world right now. So you have him, and Vader is sort of narrating everything. He's saying, you know, yeah, Reggie's popular. No one's as loved and admired as Reggie. You can just ask him, seriously. Everybody loves him. And he's throwing a big party, and everybody is at the party, and everybody's like, yo, Red, you're showing the greatest party. You always do it. And he's like, hey, tell me something I don't know. Vader is explaining that he has the pick of the hottest girls. The girls are all coming up going, oh, you promised me a dance later. And he's saying, well, you know what? I'll try to fit you in if I can. And he's also known for his practical jokes. And this kid goes up. Actually, it's Chuck. And Chuck goes, hey, love that maple syrup thing with Archie in math class. And he says, you know what? He annoys me, Chuck. He always did. Always will. And then Vader says, you know, trust me, he will never get the best of Reggie, talking about Archie. And you have him, he's really, you know, Vader being his dog, because he got Vader out of a pound, is really, really loving and supportive and thinks the world of Reggie. So as he's going on, he's talking about how the only love in his life is a woman that he can't have, and that is Midge Klump. And he's like, I can't understand why she wants to, you know, why would she want to be with that guy Moose, and why he would want her when he can't get her? And you see a sad scene where he's laying in bed and he's like, oh, Midge, and he's kind of dreaming about her. And you have what's his name, who is, they describe him as the 220-pound solid muscle, and that is Moose as he's tackling a football tackle dummy. And he's going through the party, and everybody is kind of looking at their phones and not really paying attention to what's going on. And then Reggie goes out and grabs some booze. So as he gets the booze, he is going to turn this into a crazy party. And as he comes out with all the booze, nobody is there. And he comes out and he's like, everybody's gone. And you see Midge go, well, we all received a group text. And in the phone, it says, Wild Party at Lodge Mansion, with a smiley face emoji. I don't do emojis, but I know the smiley face means you need to go there. So everybody takes off except for Midge and Moose. And Reg kind of puts his own spin on it, going, losers, every last one of them. You know what? They were beginning to bore me. So I'll send that text. And you see that as Midge and Moose leave, they're, you know, they realize how sad he is. And he throws a bottle down. He's like, Lodge Mansion? He goes, oh, Veronica and Archie, you just made my list. Then you turn the page and you've got Veronica. And they kind of tell the story about how Reggie kind of got, you know, targeted by, you know, he targeted Veronica, but Veronica is in the arms of Archie. And then you see sort of how Reggie and Archie were very good friends when they were growing up. And then that's no longer the case, because once Jughead got into his life, he didn't really have time for Archie. Reggie's dad is a publisher of the local newspaper, and he's constantly networking, so he doesn't have a lot of time for Reggie. And then Reggie's mom always is on time, you know, always out with her friends. So nobody really has time for Reggie. And you're starting to see this kind of sad person that he is, that on the outside, he is seriously just you know, this physically tough kind of jerk. And on the inside, he's really a sad kid who spends a lot of time alone. And as he's walking away, he sees Jughead and Hot Dog. And Jughead is throwing the stick, and Hot Dog is going to get it. And Reggie's seeing this and kind of admiring what's going on, and a little sad, maybe a little jealous. So he walks over and he goes, "You know what? Thinking about getting a dog." And he goes to Midge and tells Midge, "Hey, you know," she's like, "That's a great idea. You know, are you going to get a rescue dog?" He goes, "Absolutely. I care, you know, about this." And he's like, "You want to accompany me to the pound?" And she goes, "Oh, I have a study date with Moose." So he goes to the Riverdale Dog Pound, and he's looking over. And it's really cute because he sees this little dachshund. And I don't know my dog breeds. I'm assuming it's a dachshund. It's the little long wiener dogs. And Vader is saying, you know, he noticed me right away, because you've got like three or four big dogs circling around a bowl. And you've got Vader, who is screaming off and barking and protecting that bowl from all the other dogs because he wants it. And Reg says, "Hey, I want the scrappy one." You see him jump into his arms, and then you see Reggie really kind of melting when it comes to the dog. He loves him. They have a great time together. You see them doing stuff, and you know, Vader's even saying, "Yeah, I'm part of the practical jokes with him." And then you get a couple page spread of all these jokes that he's done. Vials exploding on people, makeup on people, flat tires on cars, buckets getting dumped, opening up a locker and getting punched in the face with a big glove. There's this party, this cause that's coming on, and they see a poster that talks about zero tolerance to violence. And they're saying that, you know what, wouldn't it be great to get Reggie there, because that is Reggie. Reggie is a violent person. Then, you know, you see Reggie's outside with Vader. And Archie comes up and says, "Hey, we got to talk." And he says, "No, you know what? I don't got time for you." And Reggie goes up and says, "I owe you an apology." He says, "You know what? If I'd have known that you and Veronica were having a party on the same night, I would have asked her to move hers, and I'm really sorry." And at that moment, he looks and says, "You know what? We ruined your party." And then you see Vader looking up, and he's like, oh, no, you're so close. And then Reggie looks at him. He goes, "Get over yourself. Like, you and the Princess Perfect could even impact my life." And then he walks away with the dog. And he says, "Congratulations, Andrews. If I know my Reggie, you just joined Moose Mason at the top of his list. The end for now." And that is how this ends. And then you get a thing by Tom DeFalco where he talks about Reggie, the character of Reggie. And then, like all the great Archie books that we have been getting with this new relaunch, you get a classic story. You get one by George Freese doing the art called Screen Test, where you see Reggie. And this is from, I don't even know when this is from, 1950s somewhere. But it is a really cool story. You see Pop Tate being portrayed as more of an older, feeble old man than the heavyset guy that he becomes. You see him trying to get at Veronica, and it is a great, great, great nod to the past. I mean, I love the things when they do those. So right now, you cannot be going wrong at all with any of the Archie books. This relaunch has, I think it's done a lot for Archie as far as getting him back into the spotlight, getting people talking about him. There are some sad things for me. Like, I really love the old classic Archie. But right now, Dan Parent is putting 6, 7, 8-page stories together in all the digests. So, in the classic style, every time you get a digest, you are getting a brand new story in the classic style. So we do get a little bit of both. So all the covers on here, there were some great ones. Ron Frenz did one, Robert Hack, Ryan Japol, Michael Walsh, Wilfredo Torres, Tommy Pitelli, Derek Charm, Ben Caldwell, Sandy Jarrell. That's the one that I got. And I would have to say, of the best ones, maybe Derek Charm. It's a really cool one with Reggie reaching for the fire alarm as it goes off. So Reggie and Veronica, the second issue just came out. Definitely pick this one up. And as we record this, I am very excited that Riverdale debuts tonight at 9 o'clock on the CW. So as you're hearing this, the episode has already passed. But what is cool is that you can go on, you can watch it. I'm really looking forward to it. And Brian and I are going to have a lot to talk about next week when we discuss what is Riverdale. And finally, the last book that I'm going to be talking about is the book that I've been talking about, I believe, since it has been relaunched. Since the DC Universe did their rebirth, DC has been putting out some amazing books, none better than Superman proper. We are in the 14th issue, and it is Multiplicity Part 1. And your creative team. The book is written by Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Leeson. Ivan Reese does the layouts, and Joe Prado does the finishes. Marcelo Miola, the colorist, and Rob Lee does the letters. This is a book that has been fantastic from the very first issue all the way up. And Action Comics has been equally as good, but I'm really enjoying this one a lot more. So we've got Clark Kent, who is driving in his car, and he's kind of singing along to the radio, and then slams on the brakes, and standing in front of his car right in the high beams is the Red Sun Superman, the one that ended up in Russia in the Elseworlds story. And he says something to him in Russian, and he's talking to him, and then all of a sudden Clark jumps out of the car, gets in his Superman suit, and this Superman is on the ground, and he's saying, "Help me, help me, you speak Russian." And Superman's able to translate it, and he says, "Hurry before they find us. We must go." And Superman is saying, "Who is coming, and what are you talking about?" And he said, "He's called Prophecy, and he's gathering a lot of us." He goes, "I don't understand what their purpose is, but I've been targeted for my power, as well as all of them." And he says, "You know what? I don't understand what you're talking about, but how did you find me?" And he says, "I can't explain that still. I got caught in a dimensional warp that made my escape easy and possible. But right now, Supermen are being taken everywhere." And he also mentions the Superman Annual because he could sense the blue light surrounding this place, which is what Swamp Thing explained to Superman earlier. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, these four-armed, freaky-looking monsters come out. I should say six arms because four arms aren't enough. Six arms come after him. They start going. The two Supermen take him out. There is a great, great battle. The art is beautiful. Ivan Reese just is an amazing pencilist. Years ago, he started on Green Lantern. He did Aquaman. He's done Justice League. And this is one of the best artists that is out there. Somebody that really knows how to draw action and fluidity, especially with the muscle-bound superheroes. As these fights are going on, Superman is asking the Red Sun Superman if he has supervision. And he says, "Yep, I do." And he goes, "Good to hear." So then they just start blasting all these aliens. They take them all down. And as the battle ends, this glowing light comes next to him. And out of the blue, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 superheroes. And you have one of them. One of them is a black Superman. Now, I believe this character was introduced in the New 52 somewhere. You have a woman Aquaman. You have Mary Marvel. You've got a Flash. You've got a Batman character. And they're all talking about the fact that they have been pulled out of their times. And I remember a few of them, and time travel stories and collecting of the Supermen is not necessarily a new thing, but this is a really cool thing. And what is going on? They explain that the Superman explains we're the Justice League incarnate, and we are here because the end of the multiverse created a big problem. And Superman's going, "What do you mean the end of the multiverse?" And yeah, I'm kind of familiar with that. He's saying to him, you are aware that there are parallel universes existing side by side. He says, "Everyone standing here is from a distinct Earth. I'm the Superman of Earth 23. This is Mary Marvel of Earth 5. Aquaman of Earth, or Aquawoman of Earth 11. Red Racer from Earth 36. Green Lantern of Earth 20. Machine Head from Earth 5. And you know the Red Sun Superman." So they're talking and trying to explain what is going on. Now you have, in China, I believe this is the guy from the Supermen comics, which I am not reading. And he goes into a temple, and as he's going into the temple, those same-looking monster dudes come out and attack him. They're trying to take care of him. He is looking to do nothing but escape because he is being completely overwhelmed. And this ball that they throw at him starts to engulf him, and he's like, "I can't stop it. Somebody help me." And as that is going on, all of a sudden, the team show up to help him to see what's going on, but it is a little too late to maybe do something at this particular moment. So what they do is they realize that they've got to gather their team and do what they've got to do because they have to go save all the Supermen. Now you turn the page, and this to me is where the book became, it went from an A to an A++++++ of awesomeness. You have a two-page spread of all these Supermen in jars, Superman 47, Superman of Earth 47, Earth 2, Earth 31, Earth 50, and you're looking and seeing things, and then all of a sudden, you see somebody new being picked up and put in a tube, and it is Captain Carrot. I'm freaking out when I see this. Captain Carrot, obviously, from the Captain Carrot and His Amazing Zoo Crew from the 80s, he did a little bit of a return in the New 52, not to my liking very much. But to see him in here, he gets put in a tube. He's like, "Where am I? What's going on? What's happening to me?" And then he gets electrocuted. And then the last page you see, he is a legit real-looking rabbit but he's got the Superman cape and he's got his cowl over the top of his eyes. And the next issue says, Into the Multiverse. So what can I say about Superman that I have not said a million and one times? This book is by far the best book that is out there each month, not just by DC, but by anyone. And you can go back and listen to some tapes where you heard me saying, if you want to have a successful relaunch, DC, you've got to have Superman be the best written, best drawn, best book out there. And I see that by sales, it's in the top 15, top 20, which is where it should be a little higher, but I'll take that for now. Word of mouth is going to get this book going. It's going to get this out there. So if you have not picked up Superman since the relaunch, and now you may feel like you're a little far behind, pick up The Multiplicity Part 1 and get back on track. Get started with Superman and see a character that you are going to love. And also, for a little bit of a plug for DC, all the Volume 1 graphic novels, there's 25 of them out there, which covers all the new books from the DC Universe Rebirth. Now, there are a few books that I did not pick up, so I'm probably going to pick up a couple of these trades. They're beautiful collections. Obviously, we live in an age where story arcs are written for trade. So if you have not picked up any of these books and you're kind of curious, it's a cheaper way to pick it up if you can't find the floppies. And now we come to our creator spotlight, a double take from Double Take, if you will. Recorded at New York Comic Con 2016 at the Monarch Comics booth, up first is Mike Pfeiffer, who is not only the sales and marketing coordinator at Double Take, but he's also a rock star. He's a member of the Hell Yeah Babies, who are an incredible band, and we spend a lot of time talking about the band, comic books, and Cheap Trick. And the creator spotlight coming to you once again from New York Comic Con, www.newyorkcomiccon.com. You want to go to the website. You can't obviously come to this one because you missed it, but you want to go to come next year because this is the show you need to be on. If you're on the West Coast, come on over, take a trip. If you're on the East Coast, you got no excuse. And we're joined now by somebody who's probably had one of the more busy booths yesterday, and the noise I'm hearing, that tick, 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 tick of the wheel, it's still going on. It's going on at Double Take. This is Mike Pfeiffer, who is the sales and marketing coordinator. How you doing, Mike?
Good, good, good. It's they're gonna yell at me if I'm gone too long, so I only got time for a couple of questions. But you know, whatever you want. I mean, you can make them really, really good.
There we go. So, how's it going, by the way? Busy day yesterday.
Yeah. So I came on at a very interesting time because what we're doing now is because we're launching our first set of graphic novels, collecting the first five issues of all of our books. We decided to sample those out to people because you know they all fit together in a shared universe. So we figure if you read one, you're gonna want all 10. So we're giving you one. Yeah. You know. So pretty much everybody who drops. Not pretty much. Everybody who drops by the booth gets a free graphic novel. You can spin a wheel. You can trade in a business card that we're handing out. And as you can imagine, everybody at the booths around us is extremely pissed at how long our lines are.
And you know what? Being somebody that has been suffering from a lot of the booth things, the overlines from giveaways, but you guys are in a great spot. You guys have a whole aisle. You are one aisle to one aisle, so you're not blocking anybody else out. But yesterday I saw the lines. I was talking to Matt Sumo, one of your writers, and he was down there scanning badges, and he's like, this is insane, you know, but you're giving stuff away. 10,000 trades.
We're going to be giving away 10,000 trade paperbacks by the end of the weekend. And let me tell you, I don't know if you know this about Matt, but he used to be a bouncer at an incredibly busy club, so he, like, just stepped right into the breach and was just like, excuse me, can we please move the line in a little bit? You know, just, like, was very good at herding people. And it became herding, and, you know, part of the problem, though, is you want to make people actually remember who you are. You know, sometimes you hand people a book, they go, screw you, thanks, and then, like, leave. You got to keep people and actually talk to them about the books, and so, you know, you got to put some little marmalade between the toast, you know?
It's a great way to do it because, like you said, you hand somebody something and it's disposable. It's instantly disposable, but if you wait in line, you spin a wheel, you've kind of dedicated yourself to this, so I think what you guys are doing is great. You're making people stay, you're engaging them. So, as a marketer, what did you do before you got into comics?
Oh, wow. I read a lot of comics. Really, I mean, my last job, here's the fact, is that most of my jobs have been really boring office stuff, and I got to this, I started in a creative position, sort of doing lettering, and then a position opened up in sales, and it turns out that I don't mind doing the more spreadsheety stuff, and it's about comics, which I love, and it makes it easy, and, you know, and I think that we're one of the few comic book companies that still has a real bullpen, where all, you know, the artists and and the writers are there talking directly with the editors and the salespeople, and we all get to sit at one big table and make comics together, and it's really fun.
We were just talking about that coming up, my friend Vin Ferrante and I, that what has been missing from comics is that Marvel bullpen where everybody's together. And CrossGen tried to do that a few years ago, where in Florida they had the you punched in and punched out. You came in at 8, you left at 5. Profit sharing, insurance, all that kind of stuff to make it like a real workplace. Are you seeing the creativity flowing a lot more when you have everybody there?
Well, you know, there's advantages and disadvantages, right? Like, when you're right there, you can have the artist and the writer go, oh, this is good, and you can tweak something immediately, and that's very cool. But then there's also, you know, there's an urge to be extremely democratic, and sometimes democratizing creativity is hard to manage. So, but I think we do pretty well. I mean, it'd be a lot harder to sell the books if it didn't work, you know?
So, you're also a musician. You're in a band?
Yes!
Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, my God, don't make me. It's called The Hell Yeah Babies. The Hell Yeah Babies. You can go to thehellyeahbabies.com, and today, Friday, October 7th, we actually just released our new single, Grenade Season. It's a very 80s track. It sounds a lot like The Cure. For the most part, though, I mean, we're a power pop band. We like Cheap Trick, The Knack, you know, The Exploding Hearts, folks like that. We just play rock and roll. Really, we're all kind of nerds, so we're not going to fool anybody if we wear leather jackets. You put us in good suits and get us on stage, and I think it's a hell of a show.
I mean, 80s music, I don't think you're old enough to be part of that genre growing up.
I was born in 1989. I'm technically an 80s child.
So you are an 80s. I mean, I grew up in that, listening to that music, so when you're talking about bands like The Knack and Cheap Trick, I remember my sister liking them, and I always thought that they were a little dirty and a little off, and something was wrong with them, yet they were putting out the greatest music. I ended up seeing them maybe in 85, 86. One of the best bands I ever saw live, and one of the best, just Rick Nielsen knows how to write a pop song.
He's a madman, and that's what's so great. That's what good power pop is. Like, it's such a small genre. Not everybody knows that they've heard it, but everybody's heard it. And what power pop is writing a song that's saying how much you love someone that's actually saying that you secretly hate them. Like, that sardonic sense of humor, and what Rick Nielsen was always really good at, and one of the things that inspires us about his music is the way that every Cheap Trick song, about three quarters of the way through, just takes this hard left into something weird and like creepy and darkly humorous. And so that's one of the toughest things to manage. Actually, one of our songs, Miss Me Yet, which is about a girl who keeps leaving and coming back, the writer of Josie and the Pussycats currently, our friend Cam DiOrdio, he liked that so much that one of the songs in the first issue of Josie and the Pussycats is sort of a parody of that, called Mr. Missed Her, which is awesome.
I've got the issue at home. I haven't read it yet. I picked it up yesterday. And you mentioned The Cure as well. So it makes sense, though, because I never even put two and two together. When you mentioned Cheap Trick and The Cure, I love when people mention bands that are influential in them that, to me, don't necessarily jive. Yeah. And then you start finding and stripping away the layers. Sarcastic rock.
Yeah.
That's The Cure, basically, in a nutshell.
Go together on a sandwich. You don't expect it until you make the sandwich. That's kind of the way you got to run it. You know, I mean, we're also, we like old school stuff. We like new school stuff, you know. And the thing that we're trying to bring in more is funk. But, you know, that's really all on the basis. So I'm going to wash my hands of that. I'm just the guitarist and the singer and the manager.
There you go.
Make the website.
There you go. So you're doing everything. So you're calling all the shots then, right?
I mean, it's largely democratized. I don't know. I'm going to make them listen to this just because, you know, I'm going to say that I got to talk about the band. So I guess I have to be nice, huh? No. I mean, everybody's really great. One of our members of the band, the bassist, actually, his dad owns Vintage Vinyl Records in New Jersey. So he knows a little, you know, about, you know, he's probably one of our best music historians. Our drummer, Julian Ames, is a master of music. I think right now he's working at RCA. And then our guitarist, Sam Paxton, was in a band called Ghost Hotel in Maryland. And that was named one of the top 10 bands to watch in Maryland, I think, when he was living down there, until he fell in love with one of our friends and moved up here. And then I tricked him into being in my band. So.
And whatever it takes. You got to do whatever.
And that's it. You can't ever stop.
I spent 3 years in a band, 4 years maybe. And it's interesting that people don't quite understand, unless they were in the military, that camaraderie you have with somebody in a band. When you sit down, you write songs, and us being guys, we're not supposed to be emotional. We're not supposed to share our emotions. But when you're working with somebody, like being a singer, and I was doing the lyrics and working with a guitar player, it's almost like you're in a marriage, and it can be more emotional because you're being incredibly vulnerable.
So true. I mean, Dylan is one of my best friends, and I've known him forever. And there was one time where he brought in like a very, it was like a sexy personal song that was to the girl that he was dating at the, well, and still dating right now, but it was to the girl that he was dating, and it was really good, but he's kind of missing a verse, and so I've known him for so long that it felt really special that I could put myself in his headspace, and then I tried to write lyrics like as Dylan to this girl, which is a weird thing to manage when it's like your friend talking about having weird sex, so but you know, we managed it okay.
So, you know, we'll let you go back to your booth because you got a lot of stuff going on, but with this being your first con at Double Take, your first year with Double Take, what has surprised you the most, or the thing that you just been like, nah, that's what it is?
All right, most surprising and least surprising. Okay, most surprising. I gotta say, the entire south wing of this con smelled like microwave popcorn yesterday. I had no idea. I thought that I had got hit in the head by a girder and I was experiencing brain damage. I was like, why does it smell like microwave popcorn? Why is my dead grandfather appearing? That's the most surprising. Least surprising, actually, because of all of it, all the cosplay. See, I've realized I'm now only like a 7 at Comic-Con. I came to Comic-Con a couple years ago. I was like a 9, maybe. I'm an 8. Now I'm like a 7, maybe even like a 6.5. It's messed up. People are getting hotter. It's already a nightmare living in New York with all these beautiful people all the time, and I got to cover the top of my head. Oh, but it's I'm so glad to be here, though. And thanks so much for having us, and you know, and just being a supporter of Double Take. It really means a lot. When somebody you coming over excited that first day really energized me to be like, yes, people know who we are, and we have something to give. So that meant a lot. So thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate it. And where can people find out about the band?
You can go to thehellyeahbabies.com, or if you want to go to the thing that actually makes me money, you can go to doubletakeuniverse.com.
Awesome. So, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Continued success. And I know you got to get back because I keep hearing that wheel tick, 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 tick. So on behalf of our guest, Mr. Mike Pfeiffer, this is the Matt Man. Have yourself a good one till we talk again soon.
And joining us now is Matt Sumo, who was the writer of Dedication, one of my favorite books from Double Take.
And the Creator Spotlight coming to you once again from New York Comic Con 2016, www.newyorkcomiccon.com. You want to check out the website. You want to get the dates for next year, because if you're not here this year, you need to plan on coming for next year. Somebody that has been pretty busy over their booth, Double Take, has had a wheel that has been spinning, giving away trade paperbacks all weekend long. We've been hearing the tick, 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 tick all day yesterday. We're going to start hearing it pretty soon. But we're joined now by Matt Sumo, who is a writer over there and kind of one of the faces of the organization. So how you doing?
I'm doing well, Matt. I'm doing well. Yeah, like you said, it's been nonstop. I actually was not supposed to work the booth yesterday, but I was just kind of standing around, you know, getting a feel for the con, and then they just handed me the tablet to scan the badges, and they were like, hey, if you're not doing anything, do you want to work? I was there all day, from 10 until close, just scanning badges. We were handing out books. It was amazing.
So what you guys are doing here, just to fill it in, is you've guys got a really good booth, a great booth. Last year, so you've doubled your size, because I remember seeing last year and getting some books and talking to the guys there. It was a corner booth that was a lot smaller. Now you guys have aisle to aisle, beautiful spot, and you've got the Wheel of Fortune wheel that is spinning with cards on it with all the different trades and prizes.
Yeah, so our boss, Bill Gemmis, who used to be the president of Marvel back in the early 2000s, he decided, hey, you know, what's better than to give away our books at Comic-Con? We just had our trades come out, $9.99 each. There's 10 books. So we're like, all right, you know, we'll order 10,000 or so trades and just give them out to everybody. So it's been a huge, big response. People have been, I saw like our followers on social media double pretty much overnight. It's been insane. The reception has been awesome. It's great. It's always great to get free stuff. Like, I love coming to Comic-Con just for that. I mean, you pay a fortune to get here, but getting the amount of free stuff when you walk in the door is amazing.
So the thing that I will compliment you guys on in the books is the fact that you're giving away free trades right now, but you're also giving away something that is good. It's great quality. I have loved last year when I picked up the first set of all the books, and then I got sent the second set, and I'm like, this story just keeps getting better and better, and as you're seeing, the art is getting better and better from the guys and gals that are writing. Everybody that is working on a project, you saw it just getting consistently better, and the story is a really unique take. Why don't you tell a little bit about it?
Sure. It's so what happened was, let me start at the beginning. So Night of the Living Dead is in the public domain.
Yep.
Due to a copyright error years ago, right after George Romero made it. So it fell immediately into the public domain. So we decided, you know, we were trying a bunch of different stories. None of them were really sticking creatively. So we found out that it was in the creative domain. So, public domain. So we used that movie to build a whole universe. So we, you know, it's Night of the Living Dead. All of our stories take place in Evans County, Pennsylvania, and they all share the same universe, but it's not only zombies. We kind of, at the issue threes, we kind of take a little bit of a turn where superpowers show up. There's aliens. There's a 51-foot woman. We really take a lot of stuff, a lot of cool creative stuff, and we bring it into that universe. So we just use it kind of as a springboard, and then we're building the universe off of that.
And how cool is it where we're in a day and age where you know, the way to market things isn't quite there anymore. The distribution isn't like it used to be. We, you know, I see the music industry with bands pretty much working on their own. They record an album. They've got to go out like old school and tour it and then get it to the people that way. You're almost doing that with what you guys are doing at Double Take, but how cool was it for me to walk in and see the pack of comics in the store on the shelf? And it was almost like I was working there because I'm telling everybody, yeah, I know these guys. I did an interview with them last year. And, you know, so it's like I'm taking part of the glory and the credit. I had nothing to do with it. But it was so exciting to see that. And that is a huge deal for you guys to get into Barnes & Noble's.
Yeah, you know what? It's been kind of cool. I did a little bit of sales and marketing for the company where I went to different shops and, you know, brought them comics and said, hey, listen, we're a new publisher. Like, give us a shot. If you know somebody, if you have somebody that has a pull list, they like zombies, like, just throw this in their box. So like, when they come in to pick up comics, they get free 10 comics from us. So it's cool. It's real like grassroots. It's like you're just going around, you know, going to shops, talking to people, doing stuff like this, doing interviews, and it's cool to see it grow. It, like at the end of the day, we are backed by one of the biggest video game publishers in the world, but they give us kind of the freedom to build all this stuff up.
And now it makes complete sense because I remember going to my comic book store, Most Excellent in Enfield, Connecticut. You must have stopped in because I walked in. I'm like, what are all these books doing here? And the owner was doing what you were saying. He was looking, going, all right, this guy likes horror stuff, so I'm going to give him the most 401. I remember him asking me, what books do you think would go where? Because I know you reviewed some of these on the show. And it was really funny. But the one book, a couple of the books that stuck out, was one that you were writing. So why don't you tell us about that one?
Sure. The book I write is called Dedication. Well, I wrote it. It went 5 issues. We just came out with the trade. So it's about a group of kids that work in a grocery store on the overnight shift during the Night of the Living Dead. So they're closing up shop for the night, and the zombies show up and mayhem ensues. The book did, in fact, end with the first trade. But now, coming this fall, we are continuing it with a book called Z-Mart.
Even better. And you and I yesterday, in fact, talked about the whole thing about being trapped in a store and, you know, how cool that would be and all those things. But it certainly wasn't cool for these guys because it's not like you're trying to kick out a drunk customer. And that was the thing. It was like you've got zombies in there just ripping stuff off the shelves, eating things right there. And you got the manager who was kind of like, hey, excuse me, sir, are you going to pay for that? And then he gets chomped because those are the things you don't realize what you've got to deal with when you're working at night, when you're trying to close a store. And I think you really captured something that was really kind of cool. I'm a guy that loves working nights, and you got that perfectly. Did you ever work nights too?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I have a long history. Before I started writing comics, I worked in retail for many, many years. So that, it was right in my wheelhouse to write that book. That's why they brought me on. Part of the reason why they brought me on was to write that book, to give it an authentic feel. So it's very, there's a lot of situations, there's a lot of dialogue that's very authentic to the retail environment.
And my wife grew up with her parents managing and owning grocery stores. So I remember saying some things to her, and she's like, yeah, I think whoever wrote that must know something about stores, retail, and things like that. So it makes complete sense. So as we look ahead next year, I mean, and I failed to mention last year, you guys were one of the companies that made a huge splash, and it was a time. If you remember last year, print comics were dying, print comics were dead. Worst years, worst few months in history. Nobody's buying print comics anymore. The industry is over. We came to New York Comic Con last year with that kind of mindset, going, wow, it's going to be tough for some of these, you know, companies to survive. You guys were here, a brand new company, and we were like, wow, brave. You're trying to start a company in a dying market. This the numbers that came out last month, greatest comic numbers, print numbers in the history of ever. Things are going well. You guys made a great splash, and here you are now, second year. What are you looking at for the future?
So we started out a very small team. We're still a very small team. There's like 11 people in editorial alone. And, you know, we were working on 10 books at one time.
Yeah.
So very taxing. We're scaling back a little bit. Going forward, we're going to come out with 5 books. We'll still do the super pack, so it'll be 5 books in one super pack. It's just kind of to tighten up the stories. I'm very privileged, very honored to be included in those 5 books.
Nice.
But we're going to be working on stuff like that. There's going to be one-shots. We're going to start doing more comic book stuff like that, like the one-shots, the 5 books, just to make our universe more cohesive. And then eventually we're going to start getting back into releasing more and more books.
I just want to thank you, because last year you guys gave me something to get really excited about. And again, last year it felt like a very downer situation where we're like, wow, are comics really over? And then picking up the first pack here, getting stuff mailed to me, and I was like, this is awesome. And to see things going, to see you guys giving away 10,000 trades, obviously things are going well if you're able to do that, because I couldn't give away one of my books, let alone I gave one yesterday away to these two little kids that were just awesome kids, and that takes a hit. So you do take a hit with something like that, and you said you're seeing the returns on social media alone.
Yeah, it's been really great. Like I said, you know, everybody loves free comics, and I certainly do. So it's great to see people excited to, you know, get our books, and then the reaction on social media, and then hopefully going forward, you know, that'll mean even more of an increase in our sales numbers.
So where can people find out more about the company and maybe about your writing in general?
Sure. So for the company, they can go on to doubletakeuniverse.com. The great thing about that is not only are we great in print, we are also in digital.
Yep.
So you can read the first 3 issues of all 10 of our books right online on the website. And then if you're looking to follow me on social media, my Twitter handle is @MattManBegins.
And you're 2 T's where I am 1 T. So we've had to figure that one out. We worked around it. We're fine. We're good. No problem. So continued success. Thank you for joining us. And you probably need to get back and help spin that wheel. So have a safe trip back to Connecticut.
Thank you. You as well. Thank you so much.
And so ends yet another Creator Spotlight. So on behalf of our guest, Mr. Matthew Sumo, this is the Matt Man. Have yourself a good one. This is the Matt Man with 1 T. Have yourself a good one till we talk again soon.
And that is it for this special edition of the Secret Identity Podcast. So on behalf of Brian Letendry, this is the Matt Man. Have yourself a good one till we talk again soon.